Thank you, Blessing in Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 18th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gandhi.
Thank you for joining us again. Since it's a Monday, we welcome you from the weekend. Among our top stories this evening.
Police in Harare today brutally crushed a protest by MDCT activists demanding jobs from the government and arrested seven people, including a journalist.
Mugabe is a serious abuser of the people's rights, of the fundamental freedoms of the people. And this is one of the signs and symptoms that Mugabe doesn't care.
Divisions widen in ZANU PF's Deputy Foreign Minister Chris Mchanga takes pot shots on Deputy President Joyce Mjuru and the party's Secretary for Administration Didmus Mtasa is the race to take over from President Robert Mugabe holds up.
The question of who succeeds President Mugabe is a major question in ZANU PF, and the longer the president takes to have this matter clarified and resolved, the more he's going to open up not only his party's leadership, but his entire party.
And the row over the succession of the late Chief Kaisa Ndiweni of Ndaba Zinduna, who died in 2010, spills into the High Court with the late Chief's eldest son, Joram, seeking to annul the appointment of his youngest brother, Nhlanhla, as the chief.
A Harare-based journalist and some MDC activists were severely assaulted today when police crushed a demonstration called by the opposition to demand jobs from President Robert Mugabe's administration. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Some MDCT youths gathered at the intersection of Jason Moyo and Julius Nyerere Way and started singing revolutionary songs before marching into the city today, demanding jobs from President Robert Mugabe's administration. When the placard-carrying demonstrators reached the intersection of Nelson Mandela and Julius Nyerere Way, baton-wielding police officers rounded up protesters and started assaulting them. The police also confiscated some of the placards and banners, some of which read, "Mugabe, we want our jobs now." Some of the protesters were arrested, while those who managed to escape later regrouped at the party's Harvest House headquarters before embarking on a second round of demonstrations that last only a few minutes. After failing to arrest those activists who were running in different directions, the cops turned the heat on Angela Jimu, a photojournalist from the Zimbabwe Mail newspaper, before confiscating a mobile phone and camera. MDCT Youth Chairperson for Harare Province, Shakespeare Mukoi, said he is still unaware of the exact number of people who were arrested during the skirmishes, although a statement released later by the party's information department said six activists were being held by the police. The party was still to communicate with them.
Today we're having our demonstration, a march in fact, of jobs demand campaign action. So during our procession, the police force, Zimbabwe Republic Police, come and pounce on members of the Youth Assembly and the general populace of Zimbabwe.
After arresting the journalist and some of the demonstrators, the police went on a spree in the central business district, arresting vendors and other unsuspecting people. Mukoi said his party will continue staging such protests if their demands are not met. During his election campaign, President Mugabe promised to create more than 2 million new jobs.
For sure, I think you are all aware with Zimbabwean politics, African politics, that the current incumbents, especially dictators and tyrants like Robert Mugabe, they use military force to suppress the freedom of expression.
MDCT National Youth Spokesperson Clifford Slachwayo condemned what he said was the police's heavy-handedness in dealing with the demonstrators, saying this was a violation of the new constitution, which allows peaceful protest.
Mugabe is a serious abuser of the people's rights, of the fundamental freedoms of the people. And this is one of the signs and symptom that Mugabe doesn't care of any person, doesn't have professional ethics, doesn't have that humane mentality.
At the time of going to air, Jim and the MDCT activists were still being held at the Harare Central Police Station. Their lawyers were busy seeking the release of their clients. National Police spokesperson Charity Charamba refused to comment, saying she was in class. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, or MISA, criticized the police for arresting Jimu. A statement released by the media watchdog called on a media panel set up by the Information Ministry, the Information and Media Panel of Inquiry, or IMPI, to convene a meeting with Police Commissioner General Augustin Chihuri to address issues to do with the police crackdown on journalists. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa has hit back at Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister Chris Mutswangwa, describing him as a junior party member as factionalism in ZANU-PF continues to deepen. Mutswangwa, in uncharacteristic remarks in the Herald newspaper at the weekend, attacked Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Mutasa for exaggerating their war credentials. In an interview with other publications, Mutasa vowed to dress down Mutswangwa tomorrow, calling him, quote, bogus. Factionalism is widening in ZANU-PF as the battles to succeed. The 90-year-old President Robert Mugabe hots up, and as party members jostle for positions ahead of the party's December elective congress. Mutswangwa alleges Vice President Mujuru never downed a helicopter during the Liberation War and challenged her to come out in the open on her position on Grace Mugabe being elevated as the women's boss designate.
Mrs. Mujuru left school after 2 years of secondary education to join the liberation struggle in 1973 and was reported to have downed a helicopter in 1974, earning the nom de guerre of Teurai Ropa, or Spill Blood. She was a member of the General Staff of the Zimbabwe National Liberation Army, or ZANLA, and in 1974 she was the commander of Chimoyo Camp in Mozambique. Mr. Mutswangwa also took a swipe at Mutasa, calling him a coward who is plotting the ouster of President Mugabe. Efforts to get a comment from Mrs. Mujuru were futile. Mutswangwa said he was in a meeting and could not comment. But Mutasa told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he will not engage Mutswangwa in public.
Well, I don't want to respond to them. I'm a news broadcasters or in the newspaper. I want to discuss my response to him with him because he's a very junior member of the party and I'm not going to sink down to his level by responding to him publicly.
So you have requested a meeting with him. What is going to happen?
Have you not understood me?
Yeah, I was asking when is the meeting going to take place?
Why are you continuing to ask when I have told you that I do not want to fall to his level? Don't you understand that?
I perfectly understand.
So what is your problem?
I have no problem. I just wanted to hear your side of the story. So I respect what you are saying.
I say I don't want to tell you my side of the story. Don't keep on troubling me.
That was ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa on the line from Harare. Mutasa's sentiments were also echoed by party spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who says the party will take action.
Well, I really don't know what is happening. We all only read what came out in the paper, but the party has policy and procedures of handling issues of that nature. So I expect the party, obviously, to make some decision regarding those matters. But we have rules and regulations, and we have policy and procedures of handling those things. We don't handle those in the media like we are trying to do right now.
But some form of action will be taken, is that what you are saying?
I don't know what is going to happen. I'm saying we have policies and procedures and rules and regulations dealing with the way members should behave.
There are some, obviously, who are concerned that with this factionalism widening, the party might end up splitting. Are you concerned about that?
No. That is RLPF. You know, some other parties, perhaps. We are at an experienced, tested leadership and the organization, so we don't anticipate any split at all. If anything, will come out well united.
And is the party trying to clarify this position, Mr. Gumbo, of who can be elected vice president and who can be elected chairperson of the party? What is going to happen? There seem to be a lot of confusion.
No, that the party is its policy and procedures, rules and regulations regarding the election of vice president, chairman, national chairman, and so forth. So that's not a major issue to us. We'll deal with it when we get there.
But can you clarify the position?
What do I clarify? I said we'll deal with it when time comes.
That was ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo on the line from Gweru with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. But a political analyst and acting head of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, Joy Mabenge, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that things are falling apart in ZANU-PF as Mr. Mugabe continues to lose grip.
The clear thing there is that the chickens are coming home to roost. The center is no longer holding. I've said it before that the question of who succeeds President Mugabe is a major question in ZANU-PF, and the longer the president takes to have this matter clarified and resolved, the more he is going to open up not only his party's leadership, but his entire party to internal attacks, seizures, and ultimate explosion. We are not surprised by what has happened to Vice President Mujuru in terms of the utterances that are being attributed to Ambassador Christopher Mchangwa. This is the manifestation of factionalism. It is the manifestation of a party that is in tatters. It is the manifestation of a party whose center is no longer holding. So we are not surprised at all. In fact, if this can happen right in the face of President Mugabe, it tells you that this is no longer the President Mugabe that we knew in the 90s, the President Mugabe that we knew in the 80s, the President Mugabe who had a stronghold over his party. This attack of directed at Vice President Mujuru and by extension the Presidium shows that there is no longer respect whatsoever for the top echelons of ZANU-PF, and the sooner they resolve the succession question, the better.
Joy Mabenge is a political analyst and the acting head of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition.
The row over the succession of the late Chief Kaisa Ndiweni of Ndabazinduna, who died in 2010, has spilled into the High Court, with the late Chief's eldest son, Joram, seeking to annul the appointment of his youngest brother, Nhlanhla, as the Chief, a development he describes as unlawful and unprecedented. Nhlanhla, who resided in the United Kingdom, is said to have recently arrived in the country to assume the position of Chief. The late Chief Ndiweni once served as the country's acting president in 1981 when the then president Kenan Banana was out of the country. His widow Agnes has reportedly argued that her eldest son is incompetent and that it was her late husband's wish that Nhlanhla succeeds him. However, Joram says the government did not follow the Traditional Leaders Act, where it should respect each community's customs, as under the Nguni customs, he was supposed to succeed his father, adding, if need be, his eldest son, Mhlambezi, would have been chief in his place. Cultural experts have expressed different views on the issue, and historian and cultural expert Zwide Galanga Kumalo tells reporters Tandekile Mhlanga customs can be altered if need arises.
The firstborn son is an entitlement to inheritance of the property of the chief as this is concerned. But he may not necessarily be entitled to being the heir to the chieftainship, because the chief has a right to indicate which of his children can take up the chieftainship. He cannot control the inheritance, but the chieftainship certainly can move to any other child, depending on a number of things. Whether the chief likes that particular child, whether the chief thinks that particular child is going to preserve his charisma, and whether the chief thinks that particular child will be able to govern and rule the people properly. And those are the main aspects. But in a polygamous marriage of the chief, then even that is superseded by the mother that is of royal origin, who may not necessarily be the mother of the firstborn child. So there is variability, there is a difference between inheritance of property and inheritance of citizenship.
That was historian and cultural expert Zwide Kalanga Khumalo on the line from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up,
The 34th SADC summit ends with leaders committing themselves to improving the lives of ordinary people.
Oh, but first a look at regional and international news.
The French police say armed gunmen have attacked the motorcade of a Saudi Arabian prince in Paris, making off with $335,000 in cash and some sensitive documents.
In the United States, attorneys for the family of Michael Brown say a preliminary autopsy shows that an unarmed black teen was trying to surrender when a white police officer fatally shot him last weekend in the central U.S. state of Missouri.
And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says he may leave the embassy of Ecuador in London, where he has sought political asylum for the past 2 years.
The 34th Southern African Development Community Ordinary Summit ends in Victoria Falls today, with leaders promising to effectively use natural resources in the region to empower millions of people. Critics are divided over the summit's immediate benefits to the ordinary poor, with some saying the event was a mere talk show. VOA Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reports.
Some Zimbabweans believe that the SADC leaders will fight for the empowerment of people in the region with the new chairman, President Robert Mugabe, quoting his colleagues to use his black economic empowerment model. Shelly Kapuyanyika Matundu is among local people who think that the summit's theme, leveraging the region's diverse resources for sustainable economic and social transformation through beneficiation and value addition, was well-timed. Matundu, an advocacy officer with the Christian Legal Society, says President Mugabe will use the theme to fight for black economic empowerment during his chairmanship of the regional bloc.
I want to believe that the president is going to use that as a way of advancing black empowerment. The SADC platform will be the best platform to ensure that the ordinary black person is empowered economically and also socially.
She says the other leaders will embrace Mr. Mugabe's push for black economic empowerment, though Zimbabwe's scheme of transferring 51% stakes of foreign companies appears to be unpopular.
I want to believe they are all on the same page, that they are ordinary citizens need to benefit from the resources that they have. You cannot be working for nothing in your own home. You have to at least ensure that you benefit something there.
Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe says it is unlikely that President Mugabe will use the SADC chairmanship to push for his black economic agenda.
Most of the leaders in SADC don't actually buy into Mugabe's ideology of black economic empowerment. So I don't think he's going to really be able to leverage his influence on other SADC leaders.
He says most regional leaders do not support Zimbabwe's black economic model.
I don't see that theme actually being translated into tangible deliverables that will result in pro-poor and inclusive development for the people. I think the major challenge we have in SADC is that our leaders are good at talking, but they lack the requisite will and commitment to translate that rhetoric into action.
African National Congress Secretary General Kwetema Ntashe last week made it clear that South Africa will not be adopting some controversial policies Mr. Mugabe has embarked on, such as the land reform program. Mantashe blames them for Zimbabwe's economic problems. Japhet Moyo of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions echoes Chitambara's sentiment, saying President Mugabe's Black Economic Empowerment Program is unpopular in the SADC region.
Countries might decide not to accept Mugabe's policies, especially the indigenization, land grab, these empowerment policies. So I don't think that to be just people falling over what Zimbabwe has been doing from the other countries. I don't think so.
He says the SADC summit was a mere talk show.
These are mere words. They will not mean anything. You should understand that over the years, workshop after the workshop, meeting after the meeting, summit after the meeting, African countries have always been talking about Africa is so rich. How they are going to harness those resources. But Africa is so poor. That has been the song over the years. So that will not change anything. It's an event in Victoria Falls where those elites are gathering there and discuss and go back home and do nothing.
Godwin Piri, director of the youth group INCHA, agrees, noting that African leaders have a bad record in taking care of the needs of the people.
I think it's easy to come up with resolutions, but I think the challenge that we face is whether those resolutions will be actually implemented on the ground. I think the challenge that we have, particularly for countries like Zimbabwe, is how to attract the kind of investment that can see these countries meaningfully benefiting from those natural resources.
Matundu hopes that the leaders will harness natural resources like diamonds to benefit local people.
We are hoping that since Zimbabwe has taken over as the region's chair, we are hoping that we will strive to ensure that the Southern African resources benefit the ordinary person.
SADC member states are mobilizing $500 billion needed for infrastructure development under the region's ambitious Infrastructure Development Master Plan. This has so far proved to be a Herculean task, as the 15 member SADC states are struggling to raise even the $60 billion for the first phase of the program. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.
The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Moken Tsvangirai's three-day strategic planning workshop ended today in Kadoma, with participants from the Standing and the National Executive Committees coming up with strategies for the opposition party's Congress to be held in October and 2018 elections. Party spokesman Douglas Monzora speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
This was a very, very high-level meeting. We were discussing quite a number of things. The first, we were dealing with our Congress preparations and receiving reports from the various committees who are organizing various aspects of our Congress. The other thing is that we were also discussing on how our members can freely and meaningfully express themselves during the Congress. We want this Congress to be a Congress where people express themselves. The second thing was we were looking at the issues affecting the country, both nationally, regionally, and internationally. And we noted that Zimbabwe is sliding more and more into poverty, more and more into economic decline. So we are moving towards a creation of a national consensus so that we resolve the Zimbabwean problem.
Your party has been gathering views on your constitution. Did you discuss this issue?
Every year that we hold our Congress, we give our members opportunity of reviewing the constitution of the party. So we gathered the views of the members of the MDC on how they want their party to be run. It is these views that will guide us when we do any amendments that may be necessary. But the comprehensive report about what our members have finally said will be published soon, once the committee headed by Senator Komichi have synthesized these views.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora in Kadoma with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Health and Child Welfare Minister Dr. David Parirenyatwa says Zimbabwe is on high alert and screening all visitors from West Africa at all airports to avert the deadly outbreak of the Ebola virus in the country. Meanwhile, the ministry is also urging various city municipalities, which have been struggling to provide safe drinking water to residents, to work hard to curb typhoid. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks with Head of Disease and Epidemiology Dr. Portia Manangazira about the issue.
In terms of handling new cases, this is where we would want to ensure that all healthcare workers know the case definition of a suspected typhoid case. You wouldn't want to miss a case of typhoid because obviously it will complicate and sometimes result in death or perforation of the bowels. So it is very important to be able to detect early any new cases. When you look at our benchmarks for outbreak detection, management and control, according to WHO guidelines, we are supposed to detect an outbreak within 48 hours of it having occurred. This limits the, you know, potential to spread.
There are some cases coming out in some areas in the country. What are some of the reasons as to why there are still some continuing cases of typhoid?
Yeah, so when you get typhoid occurring, it's really a measure of water sanitation and hygiene. Typhoid is a foodborne and sometimes waterborne bacterial infection, and you find it where there is no coverage of safe water and sanitation. So the fact that the outbreaks continue is just reflective that the determinants have not yet been addressed in terms of adequate provision of safe water and sanitation in these areas.
Dr. Manangazira from the Ministry of Health. Meanwhile, in sports, there was drama yesterday in the match between Dynamos and Black Rhinos. As somewhere else in London, we saw Manchester United losing. Michael Carriati has got the latest on what happened at the weekend.
Those who were not at Bandura Stadium yesterday missed out on the drama on and off the field of play after a fist fight between Dynamos Rodrik Mpuma and Black Rhinos Obeyi Gaba, violent supporters, and a thief who had stolen cell phones from football watching fans and viewers. The supporters were raining missiles on the field of play, and the thief were taken to Machu Picchu police station, facing various charges. The thief, who was caught in the act when he attempted to steal a 9th phone, had to be rescued by the police from mob justice. Mutuma and Gaba were expelled from the game for their fight on the football field, and were followed by Rhinos coach Joseph Matutu, who was dismissed, disputing the referee's decision. Mutuma and Gaba were expelled from the game for their fight on the football field, and were followed by Rhinos coach Joseph Matutu, who was dismissed for disputing the referee's decision. But in the end, the scoreline read 1-0 in favor of Black Rhinos, and Dynamos, the giant of Zimbabwean football, joined Manchester United, who lost 2-1 to Norwich Swansea at the opening day of the Barclays Premiership. Before Saturday, Manchester United had not lost a league opener at home since 1972, and Swansea had never won a league game at Old Trafford, but the Swans turned Louis van Gaal in his first Premier League game as the Manchester United manager. Van Gaal picked a surprisingly new lineup and used a brand new 5-3-4-1-2 formation, which they abandoned at halftime. Robin van Persie and Luke Shaw were unavailable due to injury, and James Lingard was forced out of the game after just 24 minutes, throwing a wrench in Van Gaal's plan. But back home, Dynamos became the only big team to fall by the wayside, as Highlanders, Dynamos and FC Platinum all sailed through. They will be joined by lightweight Chiredzi, Chicken Inn, Harare City and Triangle. The big teams in the Barclays English Premiership also got off to a good footing, with defending champions Manchester City winning 2-0 at Newcastle, while Liverpool picked up 3 points at Southampton. Big spending, Arsenal beat Crystal Palace 2-1, but those from the Red Devils family believe their team will bounce back. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Michael, and a quick recap for today's story.
Our major story today was ZANU-PF divisions widening as the race to replace Mr. Mugabe widen. That's our broadcast for this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night.